सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। इदं गुह्यतमं शास्त्रम् इति गुह्यतमं शास्त्रम् इदमुक्तं मया नघ एतद्बुद्ध्वा बुद्धिमान् स्यात् कृतकृत्यश्च भारत। गुह्यतमं शास्त्रम् ए बॉडी ऑफ नॉलेज दैट इज ए सीक्रेट। Something that is hidden. When do we call something which is, you know, a secret? There are many kinds of secrets, right? Secret is because one doesn't know. Like all these celebrities, they have some gadbad, some problem will be there because they have such a public life. And these days with iPhone and all these web cameras everywhere. You know, these, when they do something they are not supposed to do, it's always there will be some video that is leaked afterwards, right? This is the thing with all the, what is that, Hollywood, Bollywood, like a gossip, and it comes in these yellow journal papers, this is what happened, it is one kind of secret. Secret means what? So Hollywood and Bollywood I know, but nowadays there is something called Tollywood and Collywood. What is that? I don't know. Anyway, all these things are there. So anyhow, these celebrities, you know, some big sensational news is broken. So it's a secret means it's a secret until I know it. Correct? That's one kind of secret. Then there is another kind of secret. What is that secret? Even after it is told, I don't know it. That is the best kept secret. Bolne par bhi, you know, even after telling, this is the secret, I'm going to tell you a big secret. The person says, huh? What? This is another kind of secret. Shrutva api na veda kaschit. Even after listening to it, one doesn't know. That is another kind of secret. And then, the third kind of secret here is more in the sense of sacred. Yeah, something that is preserved. Like a gem. Like something very precious. Something very, very precious. Like Pujya Swamiji puts it in his Bhashya of this particular chapter, or this particular verse, he says nobody uses, for example, the Kohinoor diamond as a paperweight. Correct? Yeah. He says there is such a big diamond, then it is kept under lock and key. It's like the locker in the bank. First you go to the bank, then you have to go to the basement, and in some banks there is a certain elevator, you have to have the code for the elevator, and then you go, then there is one door, then that somebody has to open, it has 2-3 locks all along. Then you go inside, there is another door and yet one more door, and then you have your safe deposit area, there is one more door that guards that, and then after that what? Then finally your safe deposit box, that also is under lock and key. And then you open it and what do? You do the annual inspection of your jewelry. That's what. So there are many kinds of secrets. And it is not a surprise, you know, in the Shastra. The Shastra is always seen as something which is closely guarded secret, not just in the Bhagavad Gita, but also in the Upanishad. In all the Upanishads, The word that is used, Nigudham, Adhihi Bhagavo Brahma Vidyam Varishtham. Oh sir, revered sir, please teach me Brahma Vidya. The most exalted of this knowledge of oneself, please teach me. Sada Sadbhihi Sevyamanam, that which is understood by all the, you know, good people. Good people means dharmic people, which is pursued by all the dharmic people. Nigudham, which is deeply hidden. This is from the Kaivalya Upanishad, the sage Ashvalayana approaching Prajapati for the knowledge. So this, the word nigudha, nihitam guhayam, is a common thing, refrain to describe this knowledge. Nigudha means well guarded, secret. Nihitam guhayam means deep, hidden in a cave. That kind of a secret. What is this cave? One's own buddhi is the cave. Before the light of knowledge, that self-revealing light, the meaning of that light, before it is understood, the cave is full of what? Ragadveshas. And then papa, punya, sense of omissions and commissions, cobwebs of doubt and despair, bats flying around that you have to keep batting at, you know. All this is the damp with hopelessness. This is the cave. The buddhi is called the cave. Because hidden in this very cave is that self-revealing light of lights, Jyotisham Jyoti. Self-revealing light. A self-revealing light is that which doesn't need to be lit. In fact, there is no darkness. But this is the magic of Maya, that this self-lit cave is seen as dark. This is the veiling power of Maya Shakti. The covering, the avarna, makes it seem that I am away from the truth of myself. And this truth is really myself alone. And that is why it's the best kept secret, is that it is hidden from me. It's hidden from me. There's an old folk tale where Bhagavan made all these, you know, this is just a story. Bhagavan made all these various animals, plants, the whole jagat. And then he called all these creatures to a meeting. This is an ancient Lakota story, an American Indian, you know, Native American story. So then God created all these beings and called them for a meeting, the story goes. And said, I'm about to make this person who is just like me, who is really me alone, who is able to understand that this I is non-separate. But I don't want this knowledge to come to this creature, this person I'm going to now create, before the correct time. And it should not be revealed, because in the wrong hands this knowledge can wreak havoc. Like I said, if you tell a habitual person given to crime, you are akarta, you are not the doer, that's just going to encourage them, because there is no preparation to receive that understanding. So until that preparation comes, I want to hide this knowledge from them. Where shall I hide it? And the eagle first says, give it to me. I make the biggest and the highest nest above all the other creatures. And I will keep it safely there. And what did Bhagavan say? No. In fact, in a few years, you are going to become, you yourself will be an endangered species. They will scale off. You yourself will need my protection. So, you know, they will scale the highest of mountains. I'm not going to give it to you to keep in this knowledge. And then, not to be outdone in seva, the fish said. The fish said, I will take it to the bottom of the sea and keep it there very safely. And then what? Bhagavan said no. Because they will have these things called submarines and they will scrape the bottom of the ocean very soon. So no, that's not the correct hiding place. And then there was the little fox who had been listening, you know, very carefully to all this. And the fox said, hide it inside themselves. Bhagavan said, this is a very good idea because that's the last place they will look. And the story goes that the Bhagavan was so pleased with the fox that he petted its tail. That's why the fox has a very bushy tail. And that is why the knowledge of the self is hidden from oneself. This is just a story. So guhyatamam shastram. So in that way it is hidden, in the sense that without a pramana, a way of knowing, a means of knowledge is called pramana. It is not understood. And what is the pramana? What is, how to understand this? The shastra itself. Shastrameva pramanam. Yasya. This is why the shastra itself is the way of knowing. But even though the shastra is there, the listener is there, the knowledge doesn't take place. Why? Shastra is wrong. No, that is wrong. Shastra is wrong is wrong. Shastra is not wrong, it is given by Bhagavan, it is infallible. And so, the listener needs a little bit of a tuning. A little tune-up the listener needs to be able to discern this most pleasing sound. The ear needs to be tuned up properly. And so that is what is called the preparation for the teaching, because without the preparation the knowledge cannot come. The knowledge is there, the best of teacher is there, student is there, still the knowledge doesn't take place. Means there should be a dosha. Either the dosha is in the pramana, dosha means a fallacy, which is ruled out, because the pramana is free of fallacy. And so the dosha is usually with the lack of preparation, lack of preparedness to receive this knowledge. But we keep talking about this preparedness. What is this preparedness, really speaking? The preparedness is an openness to let go of all my notions, to allow my ahankara, which is occupying the throne of the inner self, the one who is manifesting as the knower of everything. The ahankara is always a know-it-all. In fact, sometimes we meet people like this also in our daily life. You start talking, you just say, oh, you know, today the weather, I know. They don't even know what you're going to say next. But immediately say, I know. So like this, the pramata, the knower, is like a, you know, unruly teenager. I know this, I know that. I am in charge because I am the one who operates all the means of knowing. Whether it's inference, whether it is the sense organs, whether it is the cognizance of absence, whether it is coming to certain conclusions about based on similarities, whatever it is, the knower is in a very secure place, sitting in the throne, you know, looking around and saying, there is one poem, I am the monarch of all I survey. Yeah. I'm lord of all beasts, all brutes, everybody. I'm the monarch, I'm the raja here. So the preparedness, you know, all the things that we talk about in detail, you know, we have a whole list. We have one whole sampatti, a treasured list of qualifications. A resolved mind, shama, dama, you know, forbearance, the ability to let go, uparati, the ability to have a certain, you know, receptivity to shastra, shraddha, single-mindedness, focus, all these things, you know, viveka, vairagya, mumukshutvam, we can be here all day. But really speaking, The preparedness, those are all really aids. The true preparedness is that when those aids are able to unseat this know-it-all from this preferred throne of being the surveyor of everything. Because that throne is a wonderful vantage point to view the entire jagat and to come into constant conclusions about this jagat. And because the nature of oneself is hidden from oneself, this knower also suffers. This is the bad news. The good news is I have the power to come to conclusions about the jagat. The bad news is I also have the same power to come to conclusions about myself. And what kind of conclusions will be there? Wrong conclusions. Wrong conclusions about the jagat, wrong conclusions about myself, wrong conclusions about Ishvara. So then we have covered Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara. If all of those perceptions are wrong, what else is left? Nothing. That is it. So the whole perception is not. So this is a subjective individual wearing the glasses of Raga and Dvesha, wearing very limited filters of subjectivity, one's own preferences, and seeing the world through one's preferences comes to certain, outrageous conclusions about oneself, about the jagat, universe, about the creator, about Ishvara, about one's relationship to that Bhagavan. It's all a flawed perception. So the perception has to be corrected, righted. And the righting of this perception cannot happen until the perceiver is unseated. Because the one who is seeing things wrongly, they have to be made to keep quiet. The pramata, the knower, the one who says, I am the know-it-all, has to be unseated, because the know-it-all is not really the know-it-all. The know-it-all who thinks I am know-it-all will become really truly sarvajna, know-it-all, after this knowledge of oneself, which is really everything. But since there is a kartra-karma virodha, since there is a certain contradiction, a vyaghata between what? Between the knower and the known being the same, the pramana, the special way of knowing this has to come from outside, shastra mukhena, guru mukhena, paramparaya. So it has to come through the lineage. It has to come through someone who is well taught, who can handle this pramana, who can unseat the knower through the words of the teaching. So the shruti alone can unseat the knower, no one else. Since the shruti and the guru are seen as one, because the shruti cannot be just read. Reading doesn't do anything. Reading this, the confusion increases. Because the same infrastructure that I want to get rid of is vitiating the knowledge. That is the problem. So here, what do I have to do? I have to be willing to let go of this know-it-all. That is really the culmination of the preparedness. I allow the pramata to be happily unseated. Even though there are some tears, some fears, I am able to transcend those fears in tears and allow the pramana, the way of knowing the truth of myself, to operate upon me. This is the difference. This is why there is a lot of guru allergy and shastra allergy. You say the word guru and the person starts to scratch. They break out into hives. Because this unseating is seen with great trepidation. Because all I know is this know-it-all. I'm attached to this status of being a know-it-all. And I like that because it's like, being the king of a small village. And here on the platter is offered the kingdom of the whole jagat. Swarajyam, your own in truth of yourself, is offered on a platter through this knowledge. and the person is not wanting to let go of this small little puri that the person controls. This is the travesty. This is what is the reason why the best kept secret of the Shastra remains the best kept secret. Because even though we make certain nods, we say, ha ha, yes, yes, we make certain noises when the Shastra is being taught. But then, do we really allow it to unseat one's notions? Do I allow it to unseat my notions of Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara? That is really the crux. So that is why it is called Guhyatamam, which Adi Shankara translates as Gopayatamam, that which is very closely guarded and kept in this particular bhashya to the last verse. Gopayatamam means the most protected knowledge, so much so that it's even protected from oneself. Because, you know, Max Müller notwithstanding, the translations have not done anything. I mean, what do you understand? That is whole. This is whole. Okay? From the whole came the whole. What? And then what remains is still the whole. You know what happens? There is a hole in the brain. That's all. H-O-L-E after this. One scratches the head. This is not, you know, fit for translation. It's not translation, it's a transmission where the knowledge is delivered by the teacher to the student just as it was delivered by the teacher's teacher to the teacher when the teacher was a student. This is what is called Shrotriya. And so therefore, being willing to not just question but completely let go of this and offer the throne to the rightful owner of the throne, which is that Brahman, Ishvara within, really, this is the preparedness. And without that preparedness, the Shastra is always, you know, waiting in the wings. Or one has a little dalliance with the Shastra. You know, you have a little waltz, cha cha cha, 1, 2, 3, you know, you and the Shastra, that's all. It's a small dalliance, but it's not internalized. It is not assimilated. You can have a scholarly understanding, but we are not looking for scholarly understanding. The one who has this understanding can be a scholar, that's a different thing. But we are not looking for scholarship. We are looking for the ability to let go. That is preparedness. The ability to let go. So for this reason alone, Shama, Dama, etc., especially Shraddha, the ability to allow this operation to happen, just the same kind of Shraddha that I have towards a surgeon who is operating upon me. When the surgeon operates, you know, you don't say, that's why they put you out. Yeah. Because they don't want you to be interfering. That's why they put you out. They don't want you. Otherwise, if you were awake, you will say, where are you cutting? Are you sure that's the right size of scalpel to use? I feel you're cutting too low. Is that the correct place where the tumor is? Are you sure you're doing the right thing? And then when they're stitching up, you'll say, did you leave anything behind? You know, make sure. Because we hear all these stories, right? Scissor is left behind, gauze is left behind. So are you leaving anything behind? That's why, before even the surgeon touches you, you are met with a friendly anesthesiologist. Yeah, and you have to, then they will say, I'm going to put you out for your own good and for ours also. They will not say that. Then what? Then they will say that, just sign on this little line here. Usually people come out. Sometimes it may so happen that Lord Yama has other plans, and so in that eventuality you just sign on the dotted line that we are not responsible, just a signature. So you have to sign. You cannot question, where did you study, where is your license, what are your qualifications. These are not the time to ask the questions. You know, one has to deliver oneself to the surgeon and trust that the tumor, the offensive thing that is coming, impeding the growth and the nurturing of this body, this tumor that is sucking out the nutrients from the body is going to be incised, taken away. But that trust has to be there. And similarly here, that is the Shraddha, the letting go of that. So what is the tumor here? Ajnanam is the tumor. Because of Ajnanam, there is a lot of things going on. The tumor is getting fatter and fatter and fatter. Because of Ajnanam, there is Kama. All kinds of desires, because I don't know what is it that I really, really want. What I want is to be free of wanting. That is what I don't understand. So therefore I succumb to this, I take the wanting person to be the reality and keep looking for this and that and here and there and everywhere. And this is the travesty. So this avidya, self-ignorance, gives rise to kama. Kama will not sit quietly. When there is desire, there is a spurring towards action. Karma pravritti is there. And this pravartanam, this forcing one to do karma, that vega, the force of the ragadveshas and the kama culminate in action. Action leads to results of action, which are, as I mentioned, twofold, papa and punya. Then the papa and the punya, the results of action, bind one to what is called samsara, this life of keeping on becoming, where one is playing hide and seek with one, the truth of oneself. Life after life, one is playing hide and seek, catch up, that's all. So Ajnanam is a very costly affair. For this reason, it's not just a harmless little thing sitting there. It is causing more and more confusion, and it is complicating the matter so much so that I'm bound in these notions of bondage called samsara. And therefore, that to remove that ajnanam, that one finds oneself in a place of privilege to have this teaching in the authentic manner is itself a great, great gift. Mahapunyam, great punya to have this. And so therefore what? This kuhyatamam shastram, this well kept secret, O Arjuna, which nobody can understand, has been given to you by me in its entirety. And what does this secret, when you unpack the secret, what does it consist of? First it consists of how come one is having this notion of bondage. And that is what the first few lines of the 15th chapter are. Urdhva mulaha, mulam, adhashakham, the samsara tree with its upside down tree, upside down priorities. The effect is manifest, the cause is unmanifest, we don't see the cause. We only see because. And so all this is, you know, told in the first portion. How to overcome samsara? This is all the Shastra package, which is what makes the 15th chapter extremely unique, because it is totally complete. So how to overcome the samsara is already given in the second or the third verse. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Have a certain inner space. Asangatva means uninvolvement, inner space with all your actions and the even if you are an actor, a doer, and also have inner space as the recipient of actions. So that uninvolvement, even while one is within this so-called samsara, that not getting too caught up, this is what is called asanga. This is the weapon that cuts down this upside down tree of topsy-turvy priorities, is told. Then what do I need to have this? To have this scythe, this sickle, to be the possessor of the sickle of uninvolvement, what do I have to do? That is also given. The qualification. Nirmana mohaha, jita sangha doshaha, Adhyatma Nitya Vinivritta Kama, someone who is yukta, who is together, who is able to, who has a cheerful disposition, who is going beyond the delusion through exposing oneself to this study, that is how one develops asangatvam. So how to develop this uninvolved stance towards this topsy-turvy samsara is also talked about. Then Ishvara reveals the truth of himself as the effect, as non-separate from the effect, non-separate from the cause. And then what is the secret here? Neither the cause nor the effect. Free from the causality, free from being effect, Ishvara is nothing but the truth of you, Uttama Purushaha. And then, where do I find this Ishvara? Within my own heart, which is dank, dark like a cave. Na tad bhasayate suryah, na shashankah, na pavakah. It's not lit by any external source of light. Why? Because itself lights up even the sources of light like the sun. That which lights up the sun. The sun is what gives light to the whole jagat. But then, when I say this is the sun, I am objectifying that sun. So my presence, that light which objectifies even the sun, is that is what is talked about here. And that's what Bhagavan says, I am the light in the sun. I am everything. I am the taste in the taste bud. I am the food. I am the digester of the food. All in, no matter what ways in which you assimilate the food, I am the digester of the food. Without me, not even an ant can move. Nothing, not even a microbe can move. Chara charatmakam jagat, this whole jagat in the form of everything that is mobile and immobile, is me alone. And that me is nothing but you. That me has to be known as you. As the meaning of the word I, that me has to be known, because there is no other me that is separate from you. That is also given. And then, therefore, the Karma Yoga is also talked about when talking about all the qualities that one has to gain through a life of Karma Yoga, which means a life of doing what I need to do, dedicating my actions as a form of worship, receiving the fruits thereof as prasada, a gift, receiving it cheerfully, or at least that should be the ideal. I work towards receiving it cheerfully. In the middle I can grumble a little bit, it's allowed, you know, but the awareness is there that this is prasada. So I grow into an accepting person, a person where yes is more than no. That is the kind of person one has to grow to. And this is what we learn from Pujya Swamiji. You know, how next time you can observe, if you haven't done so already, if it's not obvious, how often does he say no? There are some people who have never heard him say no. This is what we are so fortunate to have, you know, for us as a model. And this is what one can become. It is not that only one person can become that. Everybody has to. You know, this is the ultimate goal. A person of yes, where nothing is too much. One transcends one's problems, one transcends one's fears, one becomes bigger than one's all the things that bother one. This is the goal of the Shastra. And exposed to the teaching, the Karma Yoga finds its ultimate fulfillment, because the Karma Yoga becomes an auxiliary means to gain that preparedness to help me to let go. Because letting go is very hard. So that's why I need an altar where I can let go. What is an altar? That which has the power to alter me. That is why it's called altar. It alters this idiot who is full of notions and all kinds of wrong ideas. That is the altar. And so, that is why it's the secret package which is beautifully unfolded in this 15th chapter. So Brahma Vidya is taught, and then what else? Karma Yoga, Yoga Shastra, the two topics of the Bhagavad Gita are very nicely presented. And then what happens if I know this? Buddhiman Syat. Buddhiman Syat means you have the distinction of being able to, what? Being able to have the status of the one who is the user of the intellect. Yeah. The intellect is not given to be kept, to be dusted and polished and kept on the shelf. The intellect is not given for Sudoku. Sudoku, that's what it is, Sudoku games. Although those are nice because they keep it sharp. The intellect is not given for all those kinds of things. The intellect is given to know the secret of secrets, the sacred of secrets. This is what the intellect is given for. Otherwise one may as well have an animal life. What is the big deal? You know, one more day, one more life, no problem. So many lives have gone by, one more. You know, but really speaking, the intellect is there for spending, and the way to spend the intellect, expend the intellect, is to study this. There is a very beautiful conversation between two sages in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Gargi, who has got the epithet of Brahmavadini, she is a sage, and she is asked to, you know, they have an assembly of sadhus, a very elite assembly, and she is asked to judge whether sage Yajnavalkya is qualified enough to be part of this assembly. So there is a conversation where she asks all these questions, and then after he answers, she invites him to sit in this assembly of august sages. And this is how one of her question answer, very beautiful, it's worth looking into. This is how the exchange goes. She asks him, Bho Yajnavalkya, O revered Yajnavalkya, what is your definition of a Kripana? Kripana means the stingiest person on the earth. Who is in the world? Who is the worst Kripana? And everybody thought, perhaps Yajnavalkya will say, the one who doesn't do charity, the one who is mean, the one who does all kinds of things. But Yajnavalkya surprises everybody with his answer. He says, Atmanam aviditva yo asmat lokat praiti bhogargi saha eva kripanaha. The one who departs this world without knowing the truth of the self is the one who is the stingiest person. What is the connection between stinginess and what? And not knowing the self, because they have hoarded the intellect. That is not a buddhiman. The buddhiman is the one who expends the buddhi to ask that extra question. Who is it that I really am? What is the truth of me? What is this jagat? What is this Ishvara? Because these are the three entry points. Jiva, jagat, Ishvara. What else is there? So the one who goes that extra step to say that this cannot be my life. Eating, drinking, going to work, coming back. This is drudgery. Because no matter how much I am reproducing this life, I'm not having a sense of satisfaction centered on the self. I'm constantly dissatisfied. So what is this trick? What is this that I'm really looking for? The one who starts to ask these kinds of questions is well on their way to become a buddhiman. This is the way the Buddhist Puranam has to take place. These are the questions to ask. Because the other questions, you know, like how does the bird make its nest? Those are all within the realm of mithya. Mithya means they are distractions. They are distractions. So it's best to channel any intellectual curiosity to make a U-turn and direct it to oneself. And this is why in India, when a river is flowing and it bends towards itself, it is seen as a holy place. Because the river has made a U-turn, it has turned towards itself. And that is the destiny of each and every jiva in this universe. To be able to make this U-turn is the most auspicious time. That is the true birthday. That is the true living. That is the true beginning of the quest to be able to make this U-turn. Instead of looking for distractions and intellectual curiosity in the jagat, and getting lost in that, I direct it towards myself. That is the greatest blessing. And that is what the Shastra is all about. And this is why he says, Guhyatamam Shastram and Buddhiman Syat. And then finally, not just Buddhiman Syat, Kritakrityaha Api Syat. Like I said, so many lists, so little time, so many lists, list after list after list. Then there is deathbed list. Deathbed, how to make a list? This is called bucket list. The bucket list means, these are the things I want to do before I kick the bucket. That is why it's called bucket list. Kick the bucket means it's a euphemistic way of saying, before I say bye-bye to this universe. And this is a view of from... It's actually not a secular statement, this bucket list. I feel it's a theological statement coming from those, directly from those theologies that believe that the human being, we only live one time. So if we don't get to do all the things that we do, then there is no other chance. There is only one life, and then I have to pack this life to the hilt. And I have to pack it up completely and keep doing. Because there are so many experiences, and I have come to this world as a bhoktra shariram, as a bhoga shariri, the one endowed with the body for experiencing the jagat. So one becomes a hunter of experiences. And this is what the whole list of all the things I want to do. In India, we don't have that bucket list. You know why? Because we will say, doesn't matter, in this life it didn't happen, next life is always there. In fact, people console each other like that. Doesn't matter if this life you didn't have children, next life you will have, don't worry. And that's actually kind of nice. It is comforting to understand that. Next life you will have children. Next life you will experience this. Because this I, the conscious being, doesn't come to an end. It just changes clothes, like we saw in the second chapter. So next life. Oh, why I was born a woman, I want to be born a man. Next life. Maybe that's why there is always this, you know, battle of the genders. Then somebody may think, why I was born a man? I should be born a woman. Next life, don't worry. So therefore, there is no need to make a bucket list, because we don't have this understanding that this jiva has to be, this life itself is a clearing house of all my desires. How can you fulfill all your desires? The person who said that has not tried fulfilling even one desire. That's the problem. Even one desire to fulfill, so many impediments, so much karma comes in the way. You know, Ganesha has to be invoked, laddus have to be given and propitiated, then only one desire comes, by mistake, comes true. Grace working overtime. How can you fulfill all your desires? Desires are endless, like the numbers of births. So there is only one way to fulfill all the desires, to accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished, because it is to look at the nature of the desirer. Is to resolve the nature of the desirer once and for all. Who is this desiring person? Is this person real? Is the wanting person the truth of myself? Then I should be wanting even in sleep. What am I wanting in sleep? Nothing. So there is already vyabhichara, means there is a certain movement. So that which is real is not subject to contradiction. Abadhitam sat. It cannot be negated. So this is already negated. That I am a wanting person is negated. All you have to look at is sleep. The wants start with the first breath taken after waking up. What do I want to do today? See, the first want starts. In sleep, there is no want. So the wanting person is a superimposition on this I, much like the snake over the rope. This is what I have to understand to become Kritakritya. So if the wanting person is a superimposition, then what is the truth of myself? I have to say non-wanting person. Because this is really what I want to be. Even the wanting person wants to become a non-wanting person. Think about that. That is where the secret is. And what does the Shastra say? The Shastra starts by saying, maybe you are already that non-wanting person that you want to discover. So the only want is to discover the non-wanting person, knowing which, assimilating which knowledge, all wants are fulfilled with one stroke. Sarvan kaman samashnute. Brahmavit apnoti param. The one who is the knower of this Brahman, Uttama Purusha, is the knower of everything, gains everything, gains the ultimate. Ooh, what is this ultimate? Sarvan kaman, in the form of Brahman, Brahmanasaha, samashnute, samyak ashnute. Fulfills this whole, all the desires in one stroke. How can you fulfill all the desires in one stroke? How is that even possible? Because really speaking, there is only one desire. And that fulfilled, everything is as though it's a plus. Even this body is a plus for this I. The mind is a plus. The senses are a plus. Everything is a plus. And so that one desire alone is there. Otherwise, one is, you know, caught in this gradation of happiness. You look at yourself and you say, okay, I am this much happy, but the neighbor is that much happy because they have a bigger house, better car, better clothes, more facilities to enjoy this world. And then that neighbor, when you go and ask the neighbor, are you the happiest? No, no, no. In the next neighborhood, there is a bigger house, bigger thing, bigger, bigger, bigger. Where is the end? This is exactly what the Taittiriya Upanishad teaches us in a section called Ananda Mimamsa, a comparative study of this joy. So if you have an ideal type, typical unit of joy, a person who has everything on the earth, young, calm, well-educated, who has all the resources of the earth belong to this fellow, belong to him only. If we deem that as one unit of human happiness, then it is always surpassed. 100 units of that becomes a low-level celestial's happiness. And then there is a higher level celestial's happiness, which is 100 units than that. And then, you know, you keep going, going, going all the way up to Brahmaji, the creator. The happiness keeps on multiplying, 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 multiplying. But then there is one quiet fellow sitting under a tree who is enjoying all the levels simultaneously. Who is that? Shrotriyascha, akamahatascha. Shrotriyaha, the one who knows this knowledge, who has been well taught, who has listened, who has done shravanam, who has been exposed to this teaching. And then what? Akamahataha. Don't say akamena hataha, that's not how to resolve the compound. Yeah. Kamena na hataha, not hijacked by desires. The one who is not hijacked by desires is contented. And the one who has gained this knowledge enjoys this whole gamut of the so-called levels of happiness, really. Because it's really by giving up the finite, alone you can enjoy the infinite. And I will close with what the Kathopanishad says, the Keno Upanishad says. The Keno Upanishad says that if we miss the infinite, it's an infinite loss. Mahati vinashtihi. Infinite loss. If you miss the infinite. If you miss the infinite, you become an infinite seeker. Seeking, 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 seeking all the time. That's why the tired jiva. Old soul means tired soul. Yeah. And therefore, it's better to be the seeker of the infinite than to be an infinite seeker. This is what it is. Seeker of the infinite means my quest is finite. So with these beautiful sacred words, the 15th chapter ends. Let us just finish this here. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Purushottama Yogo Nama Panchadashodhyayah. Om Tat Sat. Om is a sound of blessing. That indeed is true, because Om stands for Brahman in the Upanishad. Iti, in this manner, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su, in the Bhagavad Gita, and the plural is used out of respect, Upanishad Su, which is not, you know, man-made really, because it is the knowledge is delivered by Bhagavan, it is likened to an Upanishad, Brahma, and which has two topics. The whole of Bhagavad Gita has two topics. One is what? Brahma Vidya, the vision of myself as limitless. And the second topic is a committed lifestyle to attain this vision, to help myself to prepare to gain this knowledge. Yoga Shastra. Yoga Shastra here is Karma Yoga Shastra. Yoga Shastre. And how is this Shastra given? Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. Samvada is a special conversation between the teacher and the student, because there is no argument here. Yeah, that is all called Jalpa, Vitanda, various kinds of things. Samvada here is where the student respectfully listens to the teacher and then gains clarification of doubts and gains the knowledge. And then Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, and then what? Purushottama Yogo Nama. Here yoga doesn't mean some kind of yoga. Yoga means Sangati. Name of the chapter is called Purushottama, because it is talking about Uttama Purusha, that which has transcends the cause, transcends the effect. And then what? Yeah, Panchadashodhyaya. Now we have completed the 15th chapter. Next time when we meet on January 20th, at the same time, 10 o'clock, we will be, you know, inaugurating the 16th chapter. And now we will stop, and then we will come back at 1:15 for question answer satsang after lunch. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Yeah.